Hi, and welcome to the pod How to Heritage, where we talk about and have conversations around issues pertaining to heritage transformations. This pod is part of the Heritage Transformation Network at Uppsala University, funded by CIRCUS, Center for Integrated Research on Culture and Society. However, the content and views expressed in the pod belong to the content creator and not the network nor its member, although some may share these views. My name is Helena Wagnefeldström, and I'm a lecturer at the ALM department. My research focuses on religious heritage and the transfers between religion and heritage placed in early modern history and today. Today I will discuss heritage transformations and particularly the relationship between history and heritage. And I will discuss it with Professor Federico Barbirato from University of Verona. This topic is connected to the issue of heritage transformation in the following ways. Heritage, as we understand it, is something that performs transfers and transformations. And this precisely is what we will discuss in this pod. So, Federico, welcome to the pod.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm very happy to be here.
I'm very happy to have you here. Actually, when I say here, a month ago, it was actually here in Uppsala because you were here as a visiting professor for 1 month during the most horrible time of year in Sweden. And now, sadly, you have returned to Italy and to the better climate there. But we were very happy to have you here. And that visit also sparked the initiative for this pod. So I had the pleasure of meeting you first time 10 years ago before you became my co-supervisor for my thesis. And we started to discuss about heritage and history because you are an early modern historian. Could you develop on what that means in Italy and your views at that time on heritage and the heritage field?
Yes, I got admitted that I'm an early modern historian, and in Italy it means that you are supposed to study the period between the 15th to the 18th century. In Italy, we take very seriously this fact, and the fact that an early modern historian should be involved in studying something before that period and after that period. That means that when we talked in Istanbul, it was maybe the first time that I could talk with someone interested in heritage in my own field of study, and maybe the first time struck me so much when we talked was the different, very different way in which we conceived the word heritage. Because the first difference that I noticed it was that you were talking about something very complex. And for me, as an Italian scholar, heritage was considered as something very, very simple. That is what you can find in museums, and in museums you can find most of all masterpieces. And so the first thing was to be not quite shocked, but okay, I can call heritage even something that it is not what in Italy we call bene culturale, and bene culturale tends to be considered Caravaggio, Giotto, Tiziano, and so on. And it was enlightening for a lot of reason. The tradition in the scientific, the scholar tradition in Italy is that the Cultural heritage is studied most of all by art historians and not by anthropologists and not by historians. Maybe we can call cultural heritage in some other ways, but we don't call it cultural heritage. And so it was funny to talk with you in that occasion and in many occasions after, because it complicated my vision of what could be considered a cultural heritage. And then I began to read and I began to inform and I began to come to Sweden and learning a lot about the consideration of the topic, of the subject, and of the term itself.
Well, for me, obviously, our conversations have been very enlightening also, because I found myself coming from the field of history of ideas and science, where I did my master's, I found myself a bit lost methodologically and maybe also theoretically, because I felt that the heritage research field was not entirely sort of, it wasn't excluding other disciplines, but it was designed primarily by archaeologists and anthropologists. So, and it's a really it's not a discipline at all. It's what is defined as a meeting place, a piazza, an Italian piazza, where people meet from different disciplines. But I felt that the presence of historians and historical research was quite weak when I started working. So I wondered how to apply the terminology and the points of view of heritage studies on the historical sources that I wanted to work with, and that are sort of are maybe a bit monopolized by historians. So, I mean, we shared that problem in a way, that heritage was formulated by others than where we found ourselves, me as a junior and you as a senior scholar.
I'm sorry, but because while you were talking, I was thinking that maybe it's not completely true that in Italy 10 years ago we didn't have an idea of what was cultural heritage, but maybe we used to call it what remains of the past. In a very naive way, maybe, and without having a clear knowledge of the debate around. I'm not saying that it was impossible to find even in Italy someone involved in this debate, but I think that the average of books on the theory of cultural heritage that even specialists had read was very, very low, and maybe we didn't have a clear idea of what could mean to talk about cultural heritage. This led also to a deep misunderstanding of, for example, a very practical thing, the UNESCO documents. Until now, if you have to do with Italian museologists, the problems of the principal problem is that how to create a path to show things. And these things have to be beautiful things. I have recently been in a city in Veneto to see an exhibition by Renoir. The problem was always the same, how to exhibit the works chronologically. There was not any problem behind, and you have the sensation in many Italian museum and in many Italian exhibition to be in the same place that you could have frequented 50 years ago. Things are not changing so much. There are examples of new approaches to museums. For example, the museums of the immateriality and so on. But they are very, very few in relation to the potential public. And I know when I talk with my art historians colleague, the answer is always the same. Yes, okay, but with the huge amount of masterworks we have, we don't need to think too much on how to exhibit things. And we have so many things in the backyard of our museums that we can't show. We don't have to reflect about cultural heritage because we have a lot of it, and so it is not important how we show it. And we fall again and again in the same strange position of what is cultural heritage? Okay, cultural heritage is still, in a certain way, Caravaggio, Lotto, and Giotto, and so on.
But what you describe is, I think, it's not something unique for Italy, even though Italy has, as you say, you're very rich, you are very spoiled in that sense. But I still beg to differ with the views that you expressed now of your colleagues, because I think that the more common views about heritage is that it's something that should be problematizing and should be also elevating the things that perhaps people in past periods or in also in the present want to hide or want to sort of distract the view from. So difficult heritage, dark heritage, all of that. It doesn't really, there's no room for that in that definition that you give. It's more of the elevated, noble, beautiful sense of heritage. And which brings me to the transforming power of heritage that I have been working with and that many scholars are working on now. That if you appoint something to, if you name something heritage, which was done, even though not perhaps literally that word, but if you actually treat something as heritage in the definition that we use today, as something that should be memorializing, something that should be saved for coming generations and so on. If you did that, also historically, it transformed the views of that, whatever it was, phenomena, object, place, space, something like that. And that's transformative power, I think, is interesting. And that is something that I believe could also be interesting for a historian to look at. It is sort of if we can agree on that function of heritage and heritageization. I don't know if you agree.
Well, it's fundamental for an historian to use the tool and the concept of heritage. Maybe historian for a good part of the last century used to consider a tradition simply something that remained. And it is a very stupid, fundamentally stupid definition, because it is not it gave a kind of passive connotation to the tradition. The tradition is not something that survived, but something that that a society, a culture decided to preserve and to put forward, to recreate, to, I think that for Italy, this attitude has to do with a problematic relationship between the country and his memory. As you know, we have a little destruction in the 20s, between the 20s and the 40s of the 20th century, that we call fascism. After the Second World War, the problem was how to remember that period, and it was, in other words, how we could tell that period, how we could build a narrative of that period. During that period, the problem was how we can create a narrative of Italy, of a nation that was that had been recently built, and what we, how we can create Italy. So we had an Italy, a narrative, an heritage created during fascism, and then out of the blue, in some month, that narrative didn't work anymore, and had to be substituted by something else, by a new history, by a new way of doing history, but by the same persons. And this was a real problem. I think that this almost the same problem, maybe in a more dramatic way, was experienced by Germany, but for Italy, it was very, very strange, I think, to recreate a new way to transmit the past. And so a huge amount of things that had been considered fundamental for 20 years were completely removed by our way of seeing things.
But would you say that they were moved from the sort of the sphere of things that you're from the daily life into a heritage sphere, or were they hidden away sort of from plain sight? What would you?
A lot were hidden away. You think about the aesthetics of the of fascism, that used the Roman remains, the memory of certain cities, and so the underlining of certain values, they were completely removed after the Second World War. And well, I shouldn't speak now, because the political situation of Italy is a matter of debate. Actually, the heritage is a problem of having maybe a party which represent an heritage of the fascist party, the government. But this is not the problem. I think that to come back to what we were saying before. I think that for any historians, it is fundamental to think that the past that he observes is something that is built. And it is not something natural. And Mark Bloch used to say that it is something that the historian contributes to create and build as well.
That's a wonderful ending to this podcast. Thank you so much, Federico. So I think we will have, I hope, plenty of opportunities to continue conversation between us and with others about the role of the historian and the role of the heritagizer, if I may say so. I don't know if heritagizer exists as a job, but I think it's an interesting role to have. Thank you so very much for this insight also into the view on heritage, not only from a historian's point of view, but also from an Italian point of view. It's really interesting, and I hope we'll see you back here in Uppsala again soon.
I hope so much to be there again. Thank you, Elena, and thank you all for patience.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.